Welcome back to the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined as usual by my co-host, Seth Wintraub. How you doing, Seth?
I'm well, Fred. Thanks.
Awesome. Big week this week on Electric. Actually, not our biggest one ever. I think like 5 million people read our article this week, which blows my mind that how many people are interested in EVs nowadays, and it keeps growing. It's awesome. But the real hardcore fans, hardcore electric vehicles people, they listen to the podcast too. So thanks for listening, everyone. And this week, we're going to start with the Model 3. Tesla did a few changes to the Model 3, to the Model 3 ordering process, the option and the pricing, not the actual car itself. And with that, they open up pretty much, as I understand it, everyone that has a reservation in North America can order right now. If they want to order the rear-wheel drive, long-range battery pack, dual motor, or dual motor performance. Of course, the standard battery pack is still a few months out of production. But right now, you should be able, if you go to your Tesla account, to order one of those cars if you're not waiting for the standard battery pack. And myself, I finally was able to order because I was waiting for either the dual motor or the performance one. But even though it launched last month for U.S. orders, at least for some U.S. orders, and now it did for Canadian reservation holders too. So I ordered myself a nice performance Model 3. I went with the performance version finally.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I don't know how much faster that can possibly be because, you know, the regular version is quite fast. But it should be good to see.
Yeah, they say 3.5 now seconds from 0 to 100. But yeah, I think a lot of people have hopes that might be underselling it a little bit to keep that Model S on top of the heap right now. But I'll be fine with just 3.5, really. I'm more excited about having a smaller, lighter vehicle with better, potential for better handling than the Model S right now. Of course, if you don't know, I'm driving a performance Tesla, but original Model S 2012. So it's quite an old vehicle for a Tesla. And it's going to be a big change for me, really. Getting pretty excited about it. And it was a little cheaper, too. Not that cheaper, but it's still a little more expensive. But one of those changes that we're just talking about is a breakdown, basically, of the option for the performance version. So the performance version used to start at, $78,000. Now it starts at $64,000, but that's just the powertrain itself. So Tesla break down the option in powertrain and then added a performance package, which is a $5,000 option that you can select after choosing the performance powertrain, which, as we discussed before, and that's a little bit of a bummer, the performance powertrain of the Model 3 is not that different from the all-wheel drive powertrain of the dual motor all-wheel drive powertrain of the Model 3. It has technically the same rear-wheel drive motor and the same front-wheel drive motors, but Tesla is selecting, so they'd be double testing the rear-wheel drive to have the most powerful ones. So even though it's a manufacturing process and volume production, the motors should be very similar, but it's still a complex machine, and if you can test them at different level, and some of them will come out with a little bit higher power output. So if you put those aside and you install them only in the performance version, those cars should technically have a higher output. And
do you think there's any way that in the future you could upgrade a regular all-wheel drive to a performance inexpensively?
Yeah, I mean, it depends really how much of a higher output can it have really with that when you test them. I'd have to imagine that because Tesla never talked about power output either. Like they just talked about the 0 to 60, which is doesn't give you much information. And I have to imagine that 1 second that you get that you shave off the 1/60 acceleration when you get the performance version, it has to be it cannot just be a content for choosing the different rear-wheel drive motor. So I think there might be some software limitation in there. Now, whether Tesla would or not remove that limitation, I don't know. I don't see why they would, really.
What about a lot of cash?
Yeah, there would be a price, but then it starts to undoes the idea to order it with the performance version, and they're all the only argument that they have for charging more for the actual powertrain, which is already thin, if you ask me. So now, if you remove that too, I mean, I don't think it's a good strategy for Tesla standpoint. I think I really don't see it happen. Really, might be wrong though. Yeah, and that performance package that we talked about includes 20-inch wheels. So of course you have the 18R standard, the 18R with the aero wheels. You have the aero caps on them for better aerodynamics. You have the sports wheels with 19 inches. The 20-inch wheel looks pretty much the same as the 19 in terms of the design of the rims themselves, but they are 20-inch, so slightly better look, fuller in the wheel well. Looks pretty good, really.
And what color did you get on yours?
I took the Obsidian Black, which apparently wasn't available until this week. I wasn't aware of that, though. Someone told me, so I didn't check. I didn't have access to the whole design studio, so I don't know for sure. But to be honest, I didn't put that much thought into the ordering process. As soon as it came online, like I did my article on it, and I contacted Tesla to make sure that I have all the information about what was changed during the update and everything. And as soon as I posted, I mean, I thought, hey, if I have access to Design Studio, I mean, I can order. So I ordered pretty quickly. I already had a pretty good idea what I wanted, but since Tesla updated the option too, so I was looking into that. So the color thing, I knew I wanted black. I thought maybe I should go with just the black, which is standard. It's the only color that's not, they're not charging you more for it.
But which I have.
Yeah, you went for, and I love black. I love the standard black on it too. But I remember the Obsidian Black on the Model S, which I thought was pretty stunning. And since I was already ordering the performance version, I mean, it's stupid to like go all out with a $100,000 car and be cheap on the paint, which is a $1,000 option or something. So I might as well just go for it and just order the best. I pretty much ordered the best car I could get for the money. I think that's my opinion. What else on that pack? Performance package. I also get a carbon fiber spoiler. And that thing's going to be installed after delivery for some reason. Tesla is not installing them at the factory. And you know what? I might actually skip it. I have it on my Model S. I'm not the biggest fan of it.
When you're going 155 miles per hour, does it keep the car down?
Yeah, apparently it helps on the aerodynamics, but I cannot imagine that it helped that much. It does help, I'm sure, that much, but purely on an aesthetic standpoint, I'm not a fan of it. But I don't know, that's on my Model S, which is a signature red.
Wait, can you have it sent to me? The spoiler?
Yeah, I don't know if I can have sent to you, but for sure, if I don't want it to install, I can just drive it to you, and then you can have it on yours. You'd like want one?
Chisel it off yours.
The spoiler?
No, I probably don't want a spoiler, but
yeah.
Hypothetically. Hypothetically. Maybe we can give it to a reader.
Yeah, or I can give it to someone. Yeah, sure. Because I mean, I paid for it with the order. That's for sure. But I mean, and if it would have come with the car installed, I probably wouldn't have bothered with it, removing it or anything like that. But if it's not, if it's after delivery, then I think I'm going to think about it harder, and I try to see. Maybe we're going to get to see a performance vehicle, a performance Model 3, before I take delivery on mine. So if we do that, I'm going to have a better opinion if I see it in person. The third thing that we have on the performance package is the performance pedals. So they're putting aluminum alloy pedals on that vehicle, which they say enhance interior styling. Yeah, that's not really a performance thing, right? that's just a look thing. But it's in the performance package.
I guess it's a lighter pedal, so when you step on it, like, you've got a millisecond extra, you know.
Yeah.
nothing.
No, that's not happening. It's lighter. I don't know, but yeah. The interior, you also get. You have the option to go white if you order the performance version. It's still white is still only for the performance version, and it's there's a premium on it too. I didn't go for it, not because I didn't want to pay the premium. I think the white interior looks stunning. Like the seats look stunning in white. I mean, at least on like the Model S and X that I've seen with it. I've never seen a Model 3 in person with the white interior. But I I've seen the reviews, the long-term reviews about it that says that it still holds up. Even if you like wear blue jeans all the time, which I do, you have a fear that since it's white, you have the coloration of your jeans will make marks on it. And apparently it's not the case, or at least not yet. But I'm not 100% convinced on that.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I mean, they did do quite a bit of like stain testing on that mm-hmm. vegan white, so I imagine.
Yeah, you know, your Model X doesn't have the white seat, right?
No, we got a used one with tan. If I had bought a new one, which we intended to do when we went in,
mm-hmm.
I would have got the white interior, but they had a really good price on a 3,000 mile Model X, which had a way bigger battery and a bunch of other stuff. So we went with the tan interior because it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I'm not convinced. So I skipped it. What else changed with that option? Oh, the delivery timeline. Tesla is definitely now shifting priority to the performance version. You get a 2 to 4 months delivery window. I got the same in Canada. So it looks like the same Canada, same in the US, 2 to 4 months.
So US and Canada parity right now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, parity for the performance version, maybe for the other two, which get 3 to 5 months for the rear-wheel drive and the dual motor. They both get the same thing. So it looks like Tesla is really going to be focusing on higher margin vehicles to get to that profitability that they're aiming for.
Also, it seems like you know, we've had this kind of hypothesis for a while now that Tesla's been kind of slowing down the U.S. Sales so that they don't hit 200,000 before next month, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We're still kind of confident that Tesla's going to hit 200,000 next month.
Yeah, probably even like first day. Like it could be as soon as right. Sunday to get that 200,000 delivery. So yeah, for the second half of the year, actually, what you're gonna have to look for is not Tesla focusing delivery somewhere else in the U.S., but actually Tesla focusing on delivering more car in the U.S. to optimize that federal tax credit. Because I mean, as many cars they can deliver, it's not cap per volume. It's cap based on time. So during that 6 months, the third and fourth quarters, Tesla can deliver as many vehicles in the U.S. and potentially get the full tax credit if you have the federal tax burden for it when you buy the car and you take delivery within that period, which is looks like it's going to be before December 31st, 2018.
So Tesla's going to, I mean, they're making 5,000 per week now. That's a run rate of about 250,000 a year. So theoretically, they could burn through a large chunk of their back order or their waiting list in the last two quarters of the year.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying for a while now. Like their waiting list in the U.S. I mean, if they have like for over 400,000 reservation worldwide, I mean, how many of those are in the U.S. or is it a half? Is it
probably about half?
Yeah, something about half. Yeah. So I mean, Tesla could deliver if you order a new car right now. I mean, as I understand it, you could place a reservation for a Performance Model 3 right now. Then after placing a reservation, you should be able to order right away or almost right away or whatever, like the time it takes to open up the studio. So it's not really placing as a reservation. It's kind of ordering the car like you would do for a new Model S, a new custom-made Model S. Of course, aside from the inventory vehicles that you have on the available for Model S and X, if you really just do a custom Model S, sometimes it can take you 2 months, even in the U.S. So the timeline for the delivery window for Model S, X, Model 3 are fairly close for a custom vehicle, which is kind of a nuts thing to think about. Like, Tesla has done it now. The production volume is there. Is it at 5,000 exactly? I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it's over 4,000 and getting pretty close to 5,000. What else did he change in the... Oh, the badge. We got a badge now on the Model 3.
Full motor.
Yeah, so... Oh, did we just lose Seth or myself too? Can you guys still hear me? Looks like I've lost Seth. If you guys can hear me, you can say in the comment section. Are you back, Seth?
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Yeah, all right.
I hit the wrong button.
So, okay, I thought that maybe I was the one that was off or something. The dual motor badge. So Tesla didn't put any badge on the Model 3 aside from the actual Tesla logo. And the reason behind that, if you guys don't know, I don't think we've talked about that much, but it's pretty interesting because it's pretty much a marketing strategy. Well, badges are always a marketing strategy. That's not news to anyone. But the reason why Tesla used to have badge and still has on the Model S and Model X, but not on the Model 3, is because the focus on their badge was the kilowatt hour capacity of the battery pack. So Model S 60, Model S 75, Model S 100. Or 100D now, because they are all dual motors, so the D was added for the dual motors, and you can get the P in front for a performance version, so it was P 100D or 75 or 75D. So the focus is around the energy capacity of the pack, and that makes sense for the same vehicle. Like if you have a Model S, you know that having a 75 kilowatt hour battery capacity and energy capacity will give you less range than a 100D that has a 25% more energy capacity. That's not true if you compare the Model S to the Model 3. So, of course, Tesla never wanted that. They wanted to distance their car from themselves, not to cannibalize their cells. But they have the same energy capacity in the case of the long-range Model 3, at least. So, as we know, the long-range Model 3 battery pack has around 75 kilowatt hours of capacity, just like you have a Model S with a 75 kilowatt hour battery capacity. But the Model 3 gets more range because it's a smaller, lighter car, more efficient. So Tesla didn't want to focus on that. I think there's someone on my door. can you take over for a second? I just want to make sure.
So we're talking about the dual motor Tesla Model 3. And it actually has dual motor written on the back of the car. And that's actually kind of a nice thing. I think it's somebody who's driving a Chevy S10 Silverado doesn't have two motors in their car. Like, it's kind of a cool thing to have two motors. Even most electric vehicles only have one motor, Jaguar I-Pace, notwithstanding. So it's actually kind of a nice thing to have on the back of the car. It would be also cool to have the long range, short range. I don't know if that's gonna come up later or not. I actually got a Tesla Model S 40, and they didn't have any badge for that. So I was driving a Tesla Model S around with no badge for a long time, and a lot of people thought I either took off the badge or, I was driving around some prototype. So, badges mean something, I guess, to people.
Did you ever get a badge for you when you come?
No, I was told I could go get a 60 when I upgraded to 60. Yeah. But it didn't really ever, wasn't a priority.
You didn't feel a need for it?
No, I was going to actually get one of those. I think somebody was selling a fake, like 120 or something like that.
Just to freak people out?
Yeah, just to get, just to get on electric. So I
make
was thinking
some
about
fake
that.
News.
Right.
It's a polarizing thing. Like, some people just don't want badges. Now, I don't know how I feel about it, really, a dual motor one.
I like it. I mean, no internal combustion engine person has two motors in their car.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah. Yeah, so it clearly says that that car has two motors in them. Yeah, that's a good way to look at
it. It's kind of cool.
But what I don't like, though, is the underline used to mean a ludicrous mode. Now it sounds like it just means performance or something.
Yeah, so is the dual motor not going to have an underline if it's not performance?
I feel like it. I feel like that's what you're saying.
Okay.
But
so I guess the underline is just like supposed to mean a bump up. But since
unless when you order a Performance Model 3, you get a ludicrous mode or something, like we don't know. Yeah, that would be fun. Did Elon Musk confirm that the Model 3 is going to have performance or just going to have a ludicrous mode? I feel like he did.
I don't think he said anything about ludicrous mode in the Model 3.
Yeah, a while back, though. It's not a recent thing. I think it's a while back.
I don't know. We'll have to go look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Not to verify that, but I think he did.
Because I had assumed that would come further, you know, like a year or two down the road when they have some time to mess around.
Yes, like we right have Jay Paz, I'm not sure I'm pronounced, but Jay on the YouTube comment says that he did. I'm pretty sure that if you look back on his on his Twitter account from, he says, 2 years ago. That makes sense. Probably just after he announced the Model 3, then he unveiled it and he talked about the performance version for the first time. I think he did say that, yeah, it's going to have a ludicrous mode. Of course, the ludicrous mode in the Model S ended up adding like it came down to 2.5 seconds, so 3.5 is not as fast. So but that's the thing with ludicrous mode, like it doesn't mean anything. It's just you can see whatever it is in ludicrous mode. If it's fast, it pins you to your seat and crush your neck. It's ludicrous mode.
That's true.
Yeah, we should address now the actual production update. Like this week, we also reported a little bit about the state of Model 3 production. Of course, everyone is looking at the 5,000 a week output by the end of the quarter, which ends tomorrow technically. So
what do you think? Are we at 5,000? Are we at above 5,000? Is he gonna just blow the shorts out of the water with like we're doing 6,000 a week right now?
Yeah, well, we did a report on that back in April. We said that Tesla changed their strategy and they actually put the capacity for 6,000 a week, you know, and then accounting for a margin of error, which is pretty much inevitable when you double your production in just a 3-month period, then you're going to get 5,000 a week. I'm not sure they're going to hit 5,000 a week. I'm pretty sure that during the last week of the quarter, Tesla hasn't or will not produce 5,000 units. What they could do, like they did a few times before, is like the last day of production, they managed to get that production rate that you can extrapolate to 5,000 units per week. I think they could do that again. I wouldn't be surprised by it. I wouldn't be mad at it as long as the entire week is like something over 4,000 units or something like that. If it's close to that, I think it's a win. I mean, either way, we said it before, but Tesla right now, the Model 3 program is the highest volume product electric vehicle production ever
in history.
In the history, like no one is doing anything close to it right now. So, no matter how hard you want to look at Tesla's failure in terms of manufacturing, they are winning.
Also, they're producing a car that everybody seems to love. Like,
yeah, you know, vast majority of people, at least, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, it does have some hiccups. We've all talked about like the little things, but you know, as a full-fledged car, I think it's probably one of the best cars on the road. I like probably the best car, unless you know, you need something bigger or you need like a SUV or whatever. But like, as far as sedans are concerned, I don't think there's anything else close to it. And nobody, you know, like most people who buy a sedan right now want a Model 3. I think if they were in the showrooms and people could test drive them and they had some inventory, I think they would sell 10 times what they're even selling now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they're starting to put them more in the stores. And apparently we learned this week that they're going to let people test drive soon. what that means soon, we don't know, because I think they said that before for a test drive. So yeah, a lot of people are going to get into the cars and see just how awesome it is. And but that's the demand side of it. So we're focusing on production side. Like, they need to increase production, which is fair. And you know, Musk talked about earlier this month a few bottlenecks. They still have a few bottlenecks in the production to get to that 5,000 units. He said the General Assembly Line 3, General Assembly Line 4, which is the one under the tent or the sprung structure, which is quite a controversial one, apparently. And a lot of people are surprised that Tesla is producing car under a tent or a tent-like building. There was also the end of the line and the Model Zone 4, which is where Tesla is producing the battery modules that go inside the battery packs. And the good news this week is that a pretty good source, John Tola, who's a lead material flow for Model 3 at Gigafactory 1, said that they achieved the 5,000 per week this week. So they managed to have a full throughput of 5,000 per week at Gigafactory 1, which is a big bottleneck to have fixed, because now they're technically producing the battery pack at 5,000 a week. Doesn't mean that the cars are being produced at 5,000 a week. Yeah, it's still other bottlenecks that we just mentioned. But it looks like Gigafactory 1 is under control, which is nice.
Yeah, and there's no tents in Reno, so yeah. You know, they're building like capacity. Their capacity is now at 5,000, and theoretically, like why there's nothing stopping it from continuing to rise. You just add more lines, more you know, time. You make the current lines more efficient. You know, if they're ramping up, which it sounds like they are, that there's probably some efficiencies to gain. So it doesn't seem like there's anything stopping them from going, you know, all the way up to 10,000 a week.
Well, they're going to have some capacity to do that. But the good news is that that capacity is going to be installed based on everything they learn with that first 5,000 per week. And I have to assume that they learned a lot with the pretty much the year it took them from starting official production with the first car to getting to 5,000 or close to 5,000 or whatever it's going to be. That's a big deal. Of course, that production increase at the battery pack level or more specifically the module level is also reliant on the battery cell production, which Panasonic is doing at Gigafactory 1. And Panasonic did a cool comment yesterday where they said that so the Panasonic was never really seen as a bottleneck in this. Like it looked like battery cells were coming just as Tesla could put them inside of modules. But now Panasonic said that the recent spike in Model 3 production has created, I'm quoting, occasional battery cell shortage. So it looks like Panasonic might actually become a bottleneck. So that's not great news. But I have to assume that if they were able to maintain that, like, not be a bottleneck for so long, I mean, they should be able to respond to it effectively. So I'm not that worried about Panasonic at this point.
Yeah, and also, I wonder if that's bringing in... We know that Tesla gets some of its cells from Japan and other places where Panasonic manufactures batteries. I think they even use some like Samsung cells for power walls and power packs. But maybe they're at capacity at the Gigafactory. I would assume pretty close to capacity at the Gigafactory. Maybe they're pulling some batteries from Japan, and you know, as production increases, all of a sudden Japan's out of batteries because, you know, they have other customers, like I think Toyota, but you know, Toyota's not producing anything right now, but I'm sure they have other customers for these batteries. So I just wonder if Panasonic's talking about the Gigafactory or if they're talking about their other battery lines.
No, I think they were specifically talking about Gigafactory 1 because Model 3 cells are exclusively built at the plant right now.
Right, and the bigger form factor specifically.
Yeah, the bigger form factor, but also the chemistry itself, I think. But of course, other, like maybe the production capacity of the actual cells are not the bottleneck, and some materials are the bottleneck, and the same materials can be used in those other cells that you mentioned that are manufactured in Japan too. So the so many factors that comes into it. I mean, this is such a complex product, not just the vehicle itself, but the cells themselves are a complex product. So yeah, it's crazy stuff. That it's crazy that Tesla is even producing 4,000 a week right now. So if you get 5,000, I mean, it's pretty awesome. What about deliveries though? We've been talking and focusing on production, but Tesla's going to report next week the production numbers, but also how many Model 3s and other vehicles that they delivered during the last quarter. And undoubtedly, it's going to be a record quarter for deliveries because, of course, of the production increase in the Model 3, which make the biggest difference. So Elon, we got an email that Elon sent to employees. Pretty simple email, really, where he just shared a CNBC article that was based on a note from Goldman Sachs, which as a Wall Street firm, they have been bearish on Tesla, on the stock at least, and they were changing their expected delivery output for Model 3 in the second quarter to 22,000 units. And Elon Musk commented basically on the article in the email. He just said that they're going to have a rude awakening because of that.
Yeah, and we learned a while ago that Goldman had, while kind of poo-pooing Tesla stock, had also been hoarding Tesla stock on the investment side. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to believe Goldman as a single entity kind of isn't, at the very best case scenario, being a little bit confusing.
Yeah. That's the church and state separation thing between the investment arm and the analyst arm. So, of course, right now we're talking about the analyst arm, which is more bearish on the stock than evidently the investment arm if they're investing into it. But yeah, the main takeaway from this is pretty much that because Goldman Sachs doesn't know the actual number, they're guessing. That's what they are doing. And I saw in the note they're taking their information from Inside EVs and Green Car Reports, which guys that are also completely just guessing. So they're basing their guess on the guess of other people, which is quite awful. The only person that knows the number, not the only one, but the only one involved in this, is Musk, who knows the numbers. So if the guy is saying that they're up for a rude awakening, you guys can guess that he probably knows that they're going to deliver more than that.
Yeah, I mean, he said twice, like in emails and tweets, like he's hinted at, like, everybody's going to be, you know, everybody's going to have egg on their face when we report numbers. Like, can't be any clearer. He knows the numbers, and he's not going to, you know, look like an idiot. I think. Well, I mean, I hope.
I don't think he's aiming for that. And he put a deadline on it. Like, he responded to my tweet. He said in 3 weeks, they have 3 weeks before their I think the quote was their position explodes or something like that. Something close.
Right. So, like, I mean, geez, guys. Like, if you're an analyst right now and you're listening, like,
read into it.
Yeah, like, he's giving you hints, like really good hints.
Yeah, they're not, like, subtle hints. Like, it's
pretty, no, they're not subtle, and it's pretty obvious. Like, they're gonna make at least very close to 5,000 a week, and, you know,
yeah, that's gonna be the number that people are gonna focus with. But in terms of just the result for the second quarter, so Tesla still has to, like, they're gonna lose money for sure during the second quarter, but they're gonna get a record revenue. I'm pretty sure of it. My guess right now, like, my guess, I was saying 25,000 Model 3s before Elon said that. I'm not sure if I want to update that, because even 25,000 over the 22 that he's pretty much laughing at is not, like, that's 3,000 more. Is that enough to laugh at? I don't know. But so maybe like between 25 and 30. But I doubt it's going to be more than 30. I'd be amazed if Tesla delivered 30,000 units, Model 3 units, during the second quarter. But I think they're going to have a good quarter for Model S and X too. I'm putting that at around 21,000 units. So that's could be pretty close to 46,000-50,000 total.
All right, put on your crystal ball here. What are the shorts going to focus on after this next earnings call? Like, you know,
well, earnings I'm call or just the production numbers reveal next week?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be 5,000 or whatever, close enough.
I think it's not going to be 5,000, and that's what they're going to focus on. If it's just like 4,500, which is amazing, they're going to freak
right.
out. Like
yeah. Okay, well, I think they're going to hit 5,000.
You think?
So
right.
Well, it just seems like he's been so cocky for so long that
yeah.
I think it's going to be more. I think it's going to be more than 5,000. Like, I think he's trying to blow that even out. And I feel like even, you know, he knows those emails are going to leak. He's kind of been like, you know, edging it downwards a little bit. Anyway, I think the focus in Q3 for the shorts is that Tesla cannot make a $35,000 electric car. And I think they're going to really hit that home that, you know, these cars that Tesla's producing isn't the $35,000 electric car. It's the $50,000 or more electric car. And I feel like that's going to be like the narrative of Q3.
Yeah, then that's fair as long as the Tesla doesn't deliver on it. But I think they will. I mean, that's something that they have to deliver on. And Elon seems confident on that, too, because if you remember last month, he responded to one of my tweets saying that he's confident that they can achieve a $28,000 cost on the Model 3. So if they get to $28,000, I mean, $35,000 sales price is not is actually good. It's a good margin on a car, on a sedan. I don't think there's many automakers right now that are producing $28,000 cars that they can sell at $35,000. Probably not, really. And that's just for the base version. Then you have to account for all the performance version, which are like the list price of my car was $99,000 Canadian. So that's the what that's like 75
yeah.
US. I mean that changed the average a lot. And
yeah, that's gonna put the ASP kind of high.
Yeah, and even right now at 5,000, I'm sure that Tesla is making money on my car. I mean, they have to. So
yeah,
I mean the short narrative, the bare narrative on Tesla is getting weaker by the day, really. But they gotta still find something to complain about. I mean, that's what they do.
But I always like to put myself in their shoes and like, all right, so what are they going to try to exploit here? What is going to be the thing that's going to end Tesla or whatever? Because, you know, we used to do this with Apple back in when Apple was like, you know, a very small company and you know, just kind of doing well. And like, there would always be these reports like, oh, Apple's doomed. And, you know, you still see like Apple reporters talking about, you know, making fun of doomed, oh, Apple's doomed. Mm-hmm. But like back in the day, you know, around the iPhone time, like they could have been doomed. They could, yeah, if the iPhone flopped, they would have been in big trouble. You know, they had some flops in the early part of the 2000s. So, you know, it's not unheard of. It's just funny though to see it happening again with Tesla when, you know, like, yeah, they have all these like inherent advantages, like the charging network, and you know, a lot of people are like, "Well, Jaguar is just gonna, you know, turn on electrification, and all of a sudden they're gonna be, you know, they're gonna be better than Tesla." Well, you know, they don't have a charging network. They don't have. I mean, the car charges at 32 amps right now, or 7.2 kilowatts. That's like kind of slow, and it does do DC fast charging, but there's nowhere to do that. So, you know, all these problems that Tesla kind of fixed or ran into 10 years ago, or, you know, maybe 5 years ago at most, and fixed, you know, with the charging network and the faster chargers and, you know, putting these destination chargers everywhere. These other companies are just starting to figure these things, you know, get these problems. Chevrolet, like, seems like they're just like, whoa, you know what? We built the car. Like, why don't you want to buy it? And you know, the Bolt is a great car, but like, you can't take it on trips unless you know you get really lucky and you want to spend 2 hours at a meal stop. So it's funny that, you know, all these issues that perceived issues that Tesla has compared to like the rest of the car industry, which, you know, if you're buying the thesis that every car is going to be electric in some number of years, you have to believe that Tesla is way out in front on a lot of fronts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that kind of puts them in Apple territory where they're disruptive and they're ahead of everybody.
Yeah. I lost you a minute there on the connection, but I think I got your point. But yeah, I think the Tesla killer thing, that's basically what we're talking about. And I think that's going to stay an argument for the shorts, though. With every other new EV coming to market, I think that's going to be destroy Tesla's market share. But we've seen it happen before, like with the Chevy Bolt was supposed to be a Tesla killer. It didn't happen. Next one's going to be the Taycan now. Taycan.
Oh, wait. What about the I-Pace?
I think the I-Pace is going to be, looks like a great car, but it's going to be fairly low volume, I think. I don't think it's going to be limited to a few markets. I don't think it's going to be like more than 20 or 30,000 units per year. It's going to be a great car, but wouldn't bet on it right now to have a big impact on Tesla. If it has, I mean, that's good. If I want Tesla to be replaced by a great car, I mean, that looks like the one, really. It's a great car, but like you said, it has its own issues. Speaking of upcoming cars, well, not car, truck, Tesla pickup truck. We learned a ton about the Tesla pickup truck this week because Elon actually seeked suggestion on Twitter. He mentioned the Tesla pickup truck. Then he said, what kind of feature do you guys would like on that truck? And if you haven't been following the story for a while, the Tesla pickup truck is something that Elon Musk wanted to do for a while now. He's been talking about it for years, but it wasn't clear where on Tesla's product timeline it would fit. A few months back, he actually confirmed that it's going to be Tesla's priority after the Model Y. Excuse me. So the Model Y right now, as we understand it, is going to be unveiled next year, early next year, and would go in production
March
next year.
Ides of March.
Yeah, yep. Ides of March. That you said it was a joke at first, but now apparently it's going to be the reveal date, and it would go in production sometime in 2020, maybe late 2020 or something like that. So it's not close to production. So the Tesla pickup truck wouldn't be far behind that. I think it can get an unveiling also next year, probably. Then maybe a year.
Maybe the same event.
It could pull a Tesla Roadster thing, like pull a pickup truck out of the trunk of the Model Y. But
or pull the Model Y out of the trunk of a pickup.
Yeah, that would kill the surprise, though. But yeah. Like, this is the Model Y. Oh, shit, no, it's the truck. Oh, the Model Y is inside the truck.
Don't pay any attention to the vehicle pulling the car. Yeah.
That is just a little prototype that we put together for the event. We learned a lot about the truck. I mean, you put the list together because it's like spread out in a 1,000 tweet storm Elon sent out. But it sounds like it's going to be a big truck. Because he said that he will actually do a step thing that comes down of the door to help you get into the truck. So some trucks have that today, but are the bigger ones. He also said that Andre the Giant would fit under the driver's seat. So I don't know how big Andre the Giant is, but I remember him being quite big.
He was really big.
Yeah.
I don't know if Elon remembers how big he was, but he was like 7'5". And like 600 pounds.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like insanely thick too. It's not just his height. Right. I mean, I can get like you want like a 6'9 person to fit inside a truck. That's already a lot of very, very tall people are buying. They're buying trucks because just they fit better in it. But it's not just the height when it comes to Andre the Giant. The guy could just put his hand on the wheel and drive it like being a 10'2 with one hand. Yeah.
But maybe like early Andre when he was like... you know, young.
12.
He wasn't, he didn't gain any weight out before that beer.
Yeah, how many beer could he drink? Like, it was insane. Like a 24-pack, it was nothing.
It was like a keg or something.
Yeah, insanity. It's going to be a 6-seater. He said that he's going to aim for, so it's going to be a 2... how do you get a 6-seater? It's not just 2 rows?
3x3? Like a bench seat in the front and a bench seat in the back?
Yeah, that'd be weird though, right? You don't do that anymore. Do you do that?
With trucks, I think.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Yeah, if you haven't realized, we're not big on trucks here. You set as a SUV and a sedan and a compact crossover, and I have a big sedan. It's going to have an option for 400 to 500 miles of range, which is pretty insane, and maybe higher, he said. So maybe we could be even more than that.
And that's, I have to imagine that's a big battery pack, because trucks have pretty poor aerodynamics, historically speaking. I'm sure this one will be a record breaker in drag coefficient.
Yeah.
See, but still, you know, with a higher thing. So you're talking about increased range. Maybe it has the same battery pack as the Roadster 3.
Or even the bigger one, because the wheelbase, I mean, it's going to be a much bigger platform, so definitely space.
Bigger tires, more rolling resistance.
Yeah, but I think he said that's going to be an option, so I think it's going to be like a much smaller, cheaper truck too, but it makes sense to have like $80,000, because the trucks ain't cheap, man. Yeah, some of the trucks are really expensive. You can get a good one like $50,000 or $60,000, but if you want to get a really good one, they easily go up to $80,000 or more. So if you go out there, now you start like going into bigger battery packs, and that truck probably looks like it's not going to be in production until like 2021, 2022 maybe. At that point, battery costs might not be that big of an issue for a 200 plus kilowatt hour battery pack. Dual motor all-wheel drive powertrain with dynamic suspension, standard on all trucks. So that's not a big surprise, because it's already the case for the Model S and Model X, so why wouldn't it be for a big pickup truck? And you can, of course, like you said, if you want to break some aerodynamic performance record for a pickup truck, you want to be able to lower it at higher speed. A dynamic suspension is going to allow you to do that. And also the dynamic suspension is going to be able to adapt to different load. So you still have a bed on that truck. So depending on your kind of load, you're going to be able to adjust that. What else? 240 volt connection for heavy duty tools. Makes sense. That's not new. Many trucks have that.
That's kind of cool though, because some trucks do have like generators. Usually they're 120 or 110 volt.
Mm-hmm.
240 would be big. There's even like arc welding. So that's 220 at 40 amps or something kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be quite a big inverter, and that would be quite a big amount of power.
Yeah, and the difference, like you said, to have that on a regular truck, you have to have the generators. In this case, you just pull that power out of the battery pack.
Right.
So that's great. And
also, I wonder if this is, if we're starting to see the beginnings of, if this thing can go 240 out, I wonder if, why not just put that into your house and be the, it's kind of like a power wall. You could plug your house in to a 240 40 amp.
So to have a bidirectional charger and connect it to your house.
I mean, if they're saying 240 volt, that's what your house uses, you could just plug that into your, main breaker box and power your house in an outage.
Yeah, definitely. I even said that you can power some air tools in it, because you're already going to have a air compressor for the dynamic suspension or air suspension. So if you have, you're working with some air tools, you can even work that out directly from the truck. So you wouldn't have to carry a separate air compressor system on your truck.
So the compressor will be, there's already a compressor in vehicles that do air suspension, but he's saying that the compressor will be user accessible for other use, outside uses.
That's what he's
saying.
Maybe
it'll be compatible with typical air compressor hoses or whatever.
Sorry, I lost you again on the connection. The other thing is the towing capacity. Someone told Elon, because Elon was seeking suggestions, so someone said a 30,000-pound towing capacity. And Elon responded, no, 300,000-pound towing capacity, which is not impossible. But to have it rated at that is a pretty ballsy move from a truck maker. Because, I mean,
so you can tow your mega yacht with that.
Yeah, you can tow your house with that. But because the Model X has a 5,000-pound rated towing capacity, but of course we know it can tow a lot more than that, but that's what Tesla is rating for the warranty and whatever. So, but if they make that the rated capacity, that's another discussion. But we'll see about that.
We've seen a Model X pull a jet, you know, like full-size passenger jet. So there's definitely room.
He also said that it will look like a truck. So that can mean different things to different people. But we're used to electric vehicles looking differently designed because of... I heard that a lot when I was in Munich last week from BMW. Like they said it. Like they don't always understand the consumer. They said electric vehicle owner wants to have cars that look differently so people know that they drive electric. The only thing that I want to look different is I don't want an exhaust pipe in the back of the truck. That's what I don't want different. Everything else can look like a car design. The car designers are very great at designing gas car. I mean, but so Elon said it won't look like a weird machine truck, pickup truck. It's going to look like a truck. He also said that he likes the whole Bronco design. Not sure how the whole Bronco design can translate to this day and age, though. I mean,
it's kind of big and boxy, actually.
Yeah, it's big and boxy. It's
wait, can we go back to the BMW guy actually thinking that people want like the weird mobile
more than one
threes?
Really? Two different exec last week said that to the group of journalists. He said, and of course he was basically trying to justify the i3, because we all know the i3 is he's the king of the weird mobile, electric weird mobile. And that's basically what he said. He said that he thinks two different guys said that. I think it was the head of production and the head of IT for production. So not it's not car design people, but it looks like it's the company line.
So okay, the company line.
It's the company line.
That makes sense because their one electric vehicle right now is a weird mobile. So, yeah.
Arguably, even the i8, even though I like the design of the i8, there's still a lot of like electric accent, design accent, if you will, on it.
Right.
So those
actually,
blue lights and whatever.
This is not a popular opinion, but I actually like the i3. I think it's cool inside and out. It's definitely a weird mobile, but I think it's a cool design.
Yeah, it can be cool, but if you want to appeal to larger population, you have to make it like not just look cool, but look like a car.
Right.
And they said that anyway. Well, yeah, that's about it for the pickup truck. Like I said before, I think it's a big deal. I think the Tesla all-electric pickup truck is going to be a big deal, not just for Tesla, not just for consumers, but for the U.S. automakers, because that's their profit centers, that's where they make their money. And if Tesla goes after that with an electric version, they're gonna have to respond to that. Now they could respond by doubling down on their gas pickup truck and try to interfere with Tesla like they did in the past. But I think we are off that bump right now. I don't think it's going to be an option for long. I think they're going to have to respond with their own all-electric pickup truck.
That would be the best way to respond.
Definitely, yeah. So that's my hope. And my hope is that it's going to happen sooner than when the car goes into the pickup truck goes into production, because like I said, I think that we're not going to see that before 2021, 2022, or something like that. But if they just unveil it and start taking reservation on the Model 3, that alone should start all electric pickup truck program. Because as far as I know, Ford, GM don't have all electric pickup truck program right now. Ford talked about a hybrid F-150, but that's it. No plug, no all electric. GM talked about a bunch of new all electric vehicles, but as far as I know, pickup trucks weren't among those. Maybe it is. If it is, I'll be gladly surprised. And but I think as soon as Tesla unveils that, and as soon as they get like 100,000 reservation for it, which I'm pretty sure they're gonna get like in a week unveiling that, if it's just as good as I think it could be, and it looks like it will based on just the information that Elon Musk released this week, and also all the feature suggestion that he took, I think that there's gonna be a few meetings after that in Detroit. And a few programs going to be greenlit.
I hope so.
Yeah, sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
What else did we talk about? Oh, the Mad Max thing. We didn't talk about the Mad Max thing. So that was a weird.
Yeah.
That pretty much happened over the weekend. Someone shared.
I wonder what else Elon has in his car. Like, he's got Mad Max mode. What else does he have that?
Yeah, the Mad Max mode, I think, got blown out of proportion. I mean, I wrote an article about it, but I've seen a bunch of other media write about it, and they didn't understand it at all. I mean, more mainstream media kind. The Mad Max mode, so how it came up is that someone tweeted a picture at Elon Musk of like a Tesla semi Mad Max like scene. And Elon retweeted it. It was John Gold, by the way, that created the person that did the picture, John Gold. And Elon tweeted it saying that it was a Tesla semi-truck in Mad Max mode. So people were thinking it was just being funny. But then he shared a picture of the center screen on his development vehicle on autopilot. And he showed that autopilot actually has a Mad Max mode. So a bunch of media said that, oh, it's just a Tesla truck. The Tesla truck's going to have a mass mode. It's not a Tesla. I'm pretty sure that picture wasn't even taken in a Tesla truck. It might have, but could have been in just any development vehicle with autopilot, really. Because what it is, it's a blind spot threshold in that max mode. So if I understand it correctly, the blind spot threshold is basically the way that the autopilot is going to react when you have a car in your blind spot. So if you do a lane change or something like that, if you have to move... A bunch of people have different standard on how they're going to move with someone in their blind spot or near their side. So some people is going to need just one car link and they go right in. So that's pretty aggressive people, or you could even say Mad Max people. So that's hence the name. Or some people are going to need like four or five car link before they can be comfortable to make a lane change. So I think that's what we're looking at here. We already got a good look at that development version of autopilot in other Tesla vehicles from previous posts. So if you look in the description of the video, you can get links to that. So in the same picture that Elon released, we have the augmented vision. We got a picture of that from a few weeks back where you can actually see what the autopilot sees and like the cloud points and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool to me. I think that I would love to see like more of that kind of stuff. And I'm surprised Tesla doesn't release any of that just because it's so interesting.
Yeah, they said at some point that they were going to do that they were going to share more about the autopilot development program, but I think they have their hands full right now.
Yeah, they've got other priorities.
Yeah, and the other thing that was cool that came out of it is because I jumped on that Twitter conversation with Elon and I shared a picture of a Model S that I called Mad Max mode also because it was drawn into a cool thing with like a generator on top that was directly linked to the charger and you have solar panels on it and everything. It'll look like a Mad Max-esque scene or maybe like even a Mars scene too. And I tweeted that. I didn't know who made the picture first, but now we know, so I can credit him. It's Julien Bouvier who made the image of it. So I tweeted that to Elon, and for some reason Elon's response was, I'm quoting, Cyber Dragon Tesla almost done. It's kind of a cryptic message, but I looked into it more. And Elon did mention making a Cyber Dragon before. So it's the second time that he mentioned making a Cyber Dragon. First time was kind of dismissed because, you know, a guy says I'm making a Cyber Dragon and you think, oh, he's high on something or somewhere. But that's often when you think when he's...
Again.
Yeah, he's on... What do you say? Ambien in the...
Ambien and wine is his vice.
Yeah, so he's on Ambien and wine and something went on. But yeah, I looked more into it. And since he responded that to that particular picture, then I started thinking. So Cyborg is the one word that's throwing me off a little bit. But I'm thinking, because a cyborg is like a machine and a human combination. But some people also just use it like combining two different things. So if you look at combining a dragon and a Tesla, that's when things get interesting, because dragon could mean SpaceX's Dragon program. So that's SpaceX spacecraft, which is they're making a crew spacecraft out of it. So you can actually It's a pressurized cabin, and humans can be in it. And of course, the Tesla. Tesla vehicle. And he responded that to my picture of what looks like an insane Tesla vehicle on Mars, basically. So I'm thinking it might be some kind of rover.
The Mars rover?
Yeah, some kind of electric Mars rover with some Dragon technology inside that's like pressurized and, well, or at least is able to withstand a Martian atmosphere. I think that'd be pretty cool. And I checked with some sources.
It's weird to me that that's even like a possibility. Like, it is a possibility, it but it's is. Just weird. Like,
I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying that's what I think it is.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like,
which sounds crazy, like you said, but could very well be. And I checked with sources, and they didn't want to confirm me yet what it is, but they confirmed that it is a thing, though. So it's not like we're just speculating on nonsense here.
Sometimes following Tesla is like watching that show Lost. You know, where they have all these like crazy subplots and stuff going on, but then they're like, "How are they going to bring this all together?" it's not gonna make any sense. Like, all this stuff is diverging, and the smoke, you know what? And like Tesla sometimes feels like they've, you know, well, mostly it's not really Tesla. Tesla's kind of,
it's Elon Musk,
you know, pretty. It's Elon Musk, right? So he's got like J.J. Abrams like writing his tweets, and like I don't understand what's, you know, like. Where's this all heading? What are we expecting?
Yeah. So there's gonna be a Cyber Dragon Tesla. It's gonna happen.
Okay.
We're not sure what it's gonna be, but if I had to bet money on something right now, it's what I just said. Some kind of Mars rover Tesla.
Will we be able to buy one on Earth though?
Yeah, I think that's gonna come with it's gonna be an option package if you buy your ticket to Mars on the new colony.
And you have the rocket boosters on your car at that point, so you can just like go to Mars.
Speaking of day. Rocket booster, so in the comments of that article, people came down on me saying that it's just gonna be the SpaceX package that we talked about the cold air thrusters. I don't think that's I understand why people would think that, but I just don't see it at all, because Elon already talked about those. He called it the SpaceX package. The Cyber Dragon was always mentioned, companies separately to that. Also, the Dragon doesn't have cold air boosters. They have the Super Draco boosters, which use propellant, actual fuels, not compressed air. So it's not the same thing at all. Like, they don't have a direct link with the Dragon. Unless the Dragon is something completely else and doesn't have anything to do with the actual spacecraft, which would be special, because what else could be a reference to the Dragon, like an actual Dragon?
You know, again, we're in Lost territory right now. Like we're making it up as we go along. Right, yeah. Now.
Last thing.
Like, Elon said something crazy. How do we make this true? Like,
and it turns out true most of the time.
Yeah.
Pretty.
I know. That is the crazy part. Yeah. Where Lost actually got lost in their whole
and
plot
it's fiction.
Weirdness. Right.
The last thing that we want to mention is Faraday Future, which we haven't talked about for a while now. So most people think it's just dead, basically, after a few years of struggle. It's still very much alive, at least when it comes to money, because they just confirmed a $2 billion round of financing. So I don't know about you, but I can do a lot of things with $2 billion. And I'm pretty sure that no matter how much trouble Faraday Future had and still has today, I think they can do something with $2 billion.
Yeah, but was that $2 billion really $2 billion? Like, I feel like the sources of that money weren't necessarily really super reliable.
Well, that I reported on, like, for a long time, I was skeptical about their financing because, like you said, that the sources were weirdly disclosed. Faraday was never confirming it. It was officially announced this week, and it's $2 billion. And why, apparently, with the old confusion about confirming it, is that they needed approval for the Committee for Foreign Investment in the U.S. The reason for that is because Faraday Future is officially a U.S. company. But we all know that there's Chinese money behind it. It's a lot of Chinese money was founded by a Chinese guy, Jia Yuting, who's the guy behind Li Ko, and he changed the company's name like every few weeks. So, but a big Chinese electronic company, and that went badly. But he apparently plunged like half his fortune into Faraday. And Faraday burned through that money pretty quickly. They did came up with some good technology at some point. I mean, we've seen like their motor is pretty impressive. Their inverter is pretty impressive. They have some decent battery pack technology too, using the cylindrical cell system for their modules. So pretty cool stuff. Some people like the FF91. Some people don't. I'm okay with it. Doesn't look too bad to me. But far from production, really. Nothing close to it. But now with $2 billion in the bank, with a smaller scale factory in the work, not as ambitious as the $1 billion project in the desert in Nevada, like their original plan, they might come up with something. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It seems it's kind of shady. And like the thing that, so the FF car, the 91, is kind of geared towards people who have drivers. Like the back seat is very plush and kind of designed like a car that would be sold in China. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to give it serious consideration here. You know, that and like they keep announcing specs that are better than Tesla, and then, you know, a month later Tesla beats that spec. So, you know, they're still dealing with the same prototype. Theoretically they can, you know, eke some more battery power out or eke, you know, whatever. But like it's kind of hard to imagine, and this is a kind of a whole high level thing. Like all these new EV players are having trouble beating Tesla, let alone getting, you know, have it being a compelling product in the market and ramping up production and all the things you need to do to be a successful car company. Tesla's already beating the stats and the specs and the kind of the looks of all these new EV players. So in a way, Tesla's like kind of killing the, you know, nascent electric car startup market. So, you know, that's good and bad, I guess. You know, it's good if you're a Tesla fan. It's bad if, you know, you want a lot of electric vehicle startups. So back to Faraday, I don't know that the FF91 is going to be compelling for, you know, people I know in any way that Tesla's not. Yeah, for better or for worse. I just don't, like...
You don't see a big market, you know, for it. Which is fair, I think.
No, and that now that they're, you know, another year or two out, you know, Jaguar's got the iPace. Like, that's going to be a nice car.
Yeah, the iPace argument is big, I think. Like, if you put the iPace against it, and price-wise,
right,
like, they're not going to reach the price of the iPace with that.
No, no, never.
So, yeah, I think the iPace argument is big here because it's pretty similar. I think it's bigger, though. Not the iPace, the FF91 is bigger than the iPace.
Yeah, way bigger in the back, too. It's just that, you know, they're going to have all the problems that Tesla had like years ago. Like, you know, when their first cars that come out aren't going to be super high quality. They're going to have issues. They're not.